a few verses in Luke chapter 15. The 15th chapter of Luke. And we'll read from verse 18. I think this chapter is so well known to everyone that it's hardly necessary to read what we might. Verse 18. I will arise a calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. In this chapter, we find the Lord is speaking three different distinct parables, and yet they're very much in harmony with each other. In the first one, we have a lost sheep that is found. In the second one, we have a lost piece of silver that is found. In the third one here, we have a lost son that is found. This is one of the choicest gospel chapters we have in all the Word of God. The first three verses, and then the first three words of verse 11, are the only words in the whole chapter that were not spoken by the Lord Himself. The Lord seems to unfold in such an amazing way the marvelous truth of the gospel. But first of all, we have a lost sheep. That sheep was lost and helpless and defenseless, exposed to danger and death. In the second one, we have a lost piece of silver, helpless, inanimate, in the house, not very far away, but lost. Would speak to us of a professor, a religious professor, a church member, in the house, but lost. Just as lost as could be. And then we have two sons here. And we find that this young man, the prodigal as we call him, he went out into the world, he turned his back on a good home, he turned his back on all the comforts of life and a place of protection and blessing. He turned his back on it all and he went out into the world and he wasted. He absolutely scattered his father's substance with riotous living. At last he came to the point where he found he was lost. He discovered where he was. You know, that's the main thing for people if they're going to be saved, is to find out where they are. To get located. I wonder, have you got located tonight, my friend? Spiritually, have you been located as to where you are before God? What road are you traveling? The broad road that leads to hell, or the narrow way that leads to heaven? Indeed. But oh, when we think of the patience of the shepherd. I love to think of a verse of a hymn that we used to sing years ago. Though he knew what it meant, yet he turned not back, bearing his cross. But he patiently trod all the weary track, bearing his cross. Though that load was so heavy, 'twould not compare with the burden of sin which he bore while there, bearing his cross. Oh, my friend, tonight, think of what it took before you could ever be saved. The Savior carried that cross until he was spiked to that tree and lifted up there, a spectacle. between those two malefactors. My friend, tonight think of the terrific price, the terrible price that was paid before salvation could ever be offered to you or me or anyone. Thank God tonight for a shepherd that's looking for those that are lost. Are you lost tonight? Have you ever really faced the situation honestly? If I died tonight, where would I be? Where would I be? A preacher one time, apparently, he asked his audience, he said, when you go home tonight, I want you to sit down at the table and take a piece of paper and write on it, if I die tonight, I will be in, and put an H there. And just look at it and read it over and finish it out. Someone did that and went home, wrote those words down, came to that letter H. And as that person looked at that letter, H, what am I going to put after that? Oh, I'll tell you, it's a stark reality tonight. Here we are sitting in comfort in this building, in this auditorium. We do not know what a day may bring forth. When we think of eternity, no end to it, forever and forever. And my friend tonight, are you going to perish in your sins? Are you? Wouldn't it be terrible, a sad thing, to think of being lost forever and to leave behind perhaps loved ones that have prayed for you for years and prayed for you all your life, it may be. And to think to leave them grief-stricken. To think of you dying without a ray of hope left behind as to possessing God's salvation. The patience of the shepherd. We think of that lost piece of silver in the house there. We think of that woman with the broom and the candle as she swept the house. Diligently. Oh, the diligent work of the Spirit of God. The Trinity, as you've heard tonight, are all working together in the interest of your soul, desiring that you might be saved. That's why. Desiring that you might be saved. Oh, the diligence as that person swept the house with the light of the candle, to find that little tiny piece of silver. You know, it was only a little wee tiny coin worth just a few cents, really, although it was silver. It wasn't worth very much. But it was one piece of a 10-piece necklace that was given to her by her husband when they got married. And that was something that she would never sell, no matter how hard up or how poor, how desperate they became, she would never part with any of those coins on that necklace. That was an evidence of her fidelity to her husband. And if a piece was lost, why, the man could divorce her. Because he would question her fidelity. He could say, well, she just used that piece for something else. It was so vitally important to her to find that silver. The Spirit of God is in the world tonight, working around the globe, around the clock, around the calendar. The Spirit of God has been working in the world ever since the day of Pentecost, dealing with men and women in every clime, in every country, of every color of the human race, seeking out those that are lost, that are going to form a part of that glorious company that will be with Christ forever and ever. Thank God the Spirit of God is working tonight. When we come to this young man, we find that he has wandered away, he's lost. He didn't know that for a while. He was strong, self-willed, self-sufficient for a time, as he squandered that money. He had a He had a wonderful time, as he thought, while this money lasted. Oh, you think of the pleasures of sin. Think of the allurements that the devil puts in the way of men and women and boys and girls to lure them on in their sin. Thank God tonight we see the Father here. This young man, he says, I will arise and go to my Father. He was brought to himself. He was brought just to turn his eyes inward and see his utter wretchedness and misery, despair, and the hopelessness of his condition as he trudged his way homeward. Oh, thank God tonight. There's not only the patience of the shepherd, there's not only the diligence of the Holy Spirit, but there's the compassion of the Father. Oh, what compassion! Oh, boundless love! We think of the compassion in the heart of God for men and women tonight, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This young man, he trudged along the road, but when his father saw him, he had compassion. The father, when he was yet a great way off, there was still a long distance to go. The father saw him. Oh, we think of the quick-sightedness of the father. The father ran to meet him. And you know, God has made the first move in regard to the salvation of people. God has made the first move. I wonder, my friend, have you made the first move in return, in appreciation? Have you acknowledged I'm lost, I'm guilty, hell deserving, I don't deserve salvation? This young man found out that he was lost. He found out that inwardly he was undeserving of anything from his father. Inwardly, oh, that self-will, that sin, that lawlessness, as he turned his back on father and home and everything else and went out to have a good time in the world. And we think of the compassion of the Father. The young man, he trudges his way homeward. The Father ran to meet him. Compassion. Oh, I'll tell you, when you think of it tonight, here is a young man. The Father ran out and he fell on his neck and kissed him, embraced that boy. He saw the evidence of repentance. The sight of that boy moved the heart of the father to the extent. He didn't wait for any confession. He waited for nothing like that. The very sight of him was enough. And you know, as God looks down in this company tonight, He knows anyone that's not saved. He knows just exactly what you're thinking. He knows where you are. He knows what your attitude is. If there's a desire for salvation, if there is the longing in your heart and soul, I wish I knew I was saved. I wish this matter were settled once and for all. Oh, thank God for the compassionate heart. The heart of God shown to poor, guilty, sinful, undeserving men and women. And we think of that young man. He realized that inwardly he was totally unworthy of anything. Outwardly, he was totally unfit to be taken into his father's house. The smell of the hog pen, the rags and the filth of that young man was enough to keep the father at a distance. But no, he ran and he fell on his neck and kissed him. When I think of the patience of the shepherd, when I think of the Holy Spirit diligently dealing with the sinner, patiently laboring, bringing him under conviction of sin, showing him his condition before God, And then to think of the Father, how He longs to speak that word of forgiveness. The Father ran, fell on His neck and kissed Him. What did He say? Bring forth the best robe and put it on Him. Oh, my friend, tonight, you know, you can become the heir of salvation. You can become the heir of all the wealth that there is in the person of Christ. We who are saved here tonight, why, we don't envy the richest man on earth. Or if you put a dozen of them all together, we don't envy a penny they possess. The man who doesn't have Christ, no matter what else he has, is an unfortunate man. He's an unhappy man, because possessions will never bring happiness or satisfaction. But the poorest person on earth that has Christ as his Savior, why, he's got a treasure that amounts to more than all the world could ever give. Oh, sinner, tonight, think of this young man. He was lost. That's what the Father said, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. You know, the two things that one sinner can do. In that book of Ecclesiastes we've heard from tonight, it tells us there that one sinner destroyeth much good. And this chapter that we're reading from tells us that one sinner can make all heaven burst out into a crescendo of praise to God when one sinner repents. Just think, one sinner destroyeth much good, but one sinner can just set all heaven rejoicing. There is joy in the presence of the angels in heaven over one sinner that repented. I wonder, is anybody here going to be that one sinner tonight that will respond to the invitation of grace? Oh, to think, many summers you have wasted, ripened harvests you have seen, winter snows by spring have melted, yet you'll linger in your sin. My friend, tonight, take one look away at Calvary's cross and think of the Savior who died there, the one who was buried, the one who rose again, and the one who said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Will you come tonight, my friend? Will you come to the Savior? You say, how can I come? Charlotte Elliott asked that question under conviction of sin. She said, how can I come? The answer was, come just as you are. Just as you are, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Are you going to come tonight, my friend, lost and guilty and helpless? Receive the Savior as your own, just to say within your very soul, Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost and helpless, thou canst make me whole. Shall we pray? Our God, we look up to thee tonight in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus. And we who are thy people, we cannot help but rejoice as we hear the gospel presented, as we hear of the dealings of God with a soul, and how that soul is brought to Christ. Oh, we do pray that there may be some person here this evening, unsaved, that will take that look of faith to Calvary's cross, accept the Savior as their own, here and now, and that such may go on his or her way rejoicing. Oh, God, we look up to thee. We think of the coming of the Lord. We think of the uncertainty of life. How necessary to receive the Savior now. Bless thy good word. Take our thanks for all thy kindness to us in these past days and the precious times that we thy people have shared, a little foretaste of what awaits us in that coming glory. Our God, bless thy word, we pray, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Number 91. Hymn number 91. Once again, the gospel message from the Savior you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn unto the Lord? Let your will to God be given. Trust in Christ's atoning blood. Look to Jesus now in heaven. Rest on God's unchanging word. We'll sing the whole hymn, number 91.